I'm going to talk about the strength of praise. And I welcome out my online family, amen. All those who are watching, amen. God bless you, amen. Encourage you, amen, to be blessed by this message, amen. There are some people that are walking around every day around a prison, I guess you could say. And I'm not talking about a prison with bars, but a prison of circumstances. Their life choices have led them to a place where they feel that they cannot break free. They feel like they can't do really anything to change their lives, to change the circumstances of their life. They are wanting to break free, be set free from this internal prison, but simply just do not know how. And Christians, they face prisons of depression and panic attacks and prisons of addiction and of drugs and lustful images. And the list can go on and on of all different kind of prisons that Christians may face. But God gives us a specific strategy to combat these moments, to wage war on these moments when we feel like the prisons of our lives that we go through are enclosing on us. We feel like we can't break free, but God gives us the strength to praise, to worship in these prisons that we may face in life. There's a story in the Bible in the New Testament where Paul and Silas in the book of Acts chapter 13. You see that Paul and Silas, they're just really in this chapter, they're just minding their own business. They're going to the temple and praying every day. And then there's this little girl who is taunting them. The girl wasn't taunting them, but it was the spirit that was in this little girl. It was a demonic spirit. And there was taunting them many days, the Bible says. And finally, Paul had enough of it. He turned to this little girl and cast out this demon from this girl. And the girl was delivered. But the only thing was is that she was a slave. She was owned by her master. And her master made a fortune of her by fortune telling, by telling the future. And when he found out that the demon that was inside her was cast out, he was very angry. He lost his main line of business. So then he riled up a crowd and attacked Paul and Silas. And they got Paul and Silas, they stripped them down and beat them with rods on their backs and on their bodies. And then they were thrown into prison. And the scripture says that it was at midnight that Paul and Silas prayed and started singing praises to God. This shows that we can praise God at any time of our lives. At any moment, in the morning, in the evening, and even at midnight. And the story goes on that it even shows that even in persecution, you can find a reason to praise God. They're in prison at an hour you think that all the prisoners should be sleeping. But here they're praying and singing. I don't think it was up to them that they're discussing among themselves that, oh, let's stay up to midnight and start praying and singing. I don't think it was like that. I think it was more like because the pain that they're experiencing in their bodies, they're beating with raw rods. That means that they had open wounds on their backs, open wounds from these lashes. And they couldn't, this pain that they're experiencing didn't allow them to sleep. It wasn't like, you know, they're going to give them band-aids and healed up their wounds. No, they just pretty much gave them a cloak and threw them in prison with blood running around. But they decided with the strength that they have to pray a bit. When they decided with the strength that they have to praise a little bit. You know, if you cannot go to sleep at night, you can sing a song of praise. If you can't go to sleep at night, you can read and pray the Word of God. Don't just stay up on your phone. You know, I heard it a long time ago. It was said that an idle mind is a play. I'm sorry. An idle mind is the devil's playground. And you're just idling on your phone, not knowing what to do, just skimming. Listen, the devil works through the phone as well. He works through images and videos. People get twisted up with what they read and what they hear on YouTube sometimes. Because, you know, we like to get up on our phones at night. How about sing a song of praise, or how about read a word of God, or, you know, read and pray? That's what they did. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, it says that other prisoners were listening to them. Meaning that wherever you are, people are listening to what you're saying while you're in your prison. While you're in your spiritual prison. Because they realize they're in the same prison as you are. They are experiencing depression just like you are. They are experiencing rejection just like you are. But when you start singing the praises of God and you start noticing that the people around you are dealing with the same thing, they begin to wonder, why do you have a joy? Why can you sing praises to God when you're in the same prison as me? How can you worship while you're in prison? It boggles their minds. How can you have such joy while you're in prison? They don't understand it. They don't have the understanding that even though that you might be in prison, you can still praise God. And God can set you free. In Acts chapter 16, the next verse, in verse 26, it says that there was a violent earthquake that happened. And it shook the foundations of the prison. And the prison doors were open simply by praying and praising God. Some people believe that God started to tap his foot on the beat and it caused the earthquake. You know, I don't know. Maybe it was the angels who started getting into the praise and started jumping up and down. I don't know. But we know it was supernatural. Praising God can set you free, and praising God can lead to miracles. It can open your prison doors. Like I said before, years ago when I was doing Bible studies on the base on North Island, they arrested me because I was just simply handing out flyers for a Bible study. Handing out flyers for a Bible study, I got arrested. You would think I'm handing out drugs or something, you know, but no, I was handing out flyers, a piece of paper, and they arrested me. They tried to discourage me. They put me in the back of the SUV. They're trying to discourage me, get me frightened. But no, I didn't have no fear. I had joy. Yes, I was getting persecuted, but I had joy. In the back of the SUV, I started singing the praises of God. I'm pretty sure they thought I was crazy or something. But I had joy in my heart. And then before midnight, I was set free. I went back home before midnight. I wonder if it was linked to the praises I had in my heart to sing to God. The devil tried to discourage me from ever doing an outreach. No, I kept on going outreach on basis. In fact, we were on yesterday on base outreaching again. The devil didn't stop me. And the scripture says in Philippians 4:4, it says, "Rejoice always in the Lord." Rejoice always in the Lord. This means that includes the spiritual prison that you may feel like you're in. You're having a hard time of breaking from it because it's not physical bars that you're dealing with. It's not physical bars that you're dealing with. It's spiritual bars. And you need a spiritual key to break open spiritual bars. And praising God in whatever circumstance you're in is one of those spiritual keys. Put on some worship music in your house. Put on some worship music in your car. It will get you in, it will create an atmosphere of where you can start praising God. Unless you know some songs from their heart you can just sing. Put some music on, put some worship music on while you're working. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." My daughter asked me the other day, "Dad, why do you worship? Why do you listen to worship songs while you work?" It's because I always love praising God, always. You know, I don't listen to much secular music that often. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know the hottest hits out there. I don't know, you know, the new artists is out there, you know, of rock or hip hop or country or whatever it may is, because I mainly listen to worship music or Christian music. Is all secular music bad? No. I don't believe so. I believe God gave us the ability to create music. It's just that the majority of secular music has, it can gear us toward the, you know, feeling in a certain way. You know, you think about country music. You know, country music, it's a, you know, you get you down, it gets you depressed. Because they're singing a song that their girlfriend left them. You know, so you want to go to the bar and have a beer. You know, you think about rap or hip hop, you think about when you start listening to rap and hip hop, it makes you want to fight. Or it also has a lot of lyrics in it that degrades women. So you start looking at women at a degraded value. You think about rock, you start listening to rock music, it makes you want to act wild sometimes, do something crazy. How about put some worship music on? So you can praise God throughout your day. And who knows, you might be filled with the Holy Ghost when you start praising God. Who knows, you might be set free from the chains from when you start praising God. Who knows, the doors might open, the prison doors might open. Because it says in the scriptures, it's not by your might, but by his spirit, says the Lord. It's spiritual. So you need a spiritual weapon. You need praise. Not by might, but by your spirit, says the Lord. It's the same word that God used when he breathed his spirit into man. It was his breath. And when we sing, we're using our breath to set us free. And God can set the captives free. And God is in the business of setting the captives free. There's a confusion today in the Christian world, I say. And the confusion is this, that once they get saved, that they will no longer have a struggle in life. No longer that they will face a prison or a rejection, or no longer they will face insecurity or fear. They think that all that should go away. No, sometimes you have to fight your way through. Just like the Israel, children of Israel, when they went to the promised land, it wasn't just given to them. No, they had to fight for the promised land. But God was with them. Some Christians could think of like, why am I like this? I know I am saved, but why am I struggling to break free from this prison? This is a great mystery, you know, and I only can explain it this way. Even though you are saved and forgiven, and nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, there's still a devil out there that won't stop trying to get you down. That there's still a devil out there that will try to get you bound and in the prison, not thinking that you have no authority, no way to break free. But there's prayer. But there's also the power to praise God. It's one of our greatest weapons. It defeats the enemy. There's a reason why they don't play Christian music at the clubs. There's a reason why they don't play Christian music at the bars. It's because, you know, if they start playing Christian music, everybody will leave. They're not going to make any money. They love to have people in these prisons because they make money off it. I remember a time, and this is before salvation, I went to a club and, you know, in their club, they play all types of music, and they decided to play Jesus Walks by Kanye West in the club. And the whole dance floor, it cleared. It cleared the whole dance floor. It was like the DJ had to switch it up real quick because he wanted to bring people back on the dance floor and have a good time. But you put Jesus in the club, man, people don't like it. They don't want to be set free. If you want to be set free, put some music on. Start praising God and see what God does in your life. I remember a time, and this is a personal story, where I was, you know, I work at home upstairs in my room. I work from home. And my wife, she woke up and she went downstairs to make some breakfast. And, you know, and I went downstairs, you know, to just see what's going on. And I noticed something that was bugging her. And she was in just one of those moods where, like, don't you mess with me right now. And I kind of, you know, realized that. So, I gave her space. But it wasn't that. I knew it was spiritual. So what I decided to do was to turn on the speaker downstairs and play some worship music. Her favorite worship music, of course, to set her free. To set our home free. I think it was something in the atmosphere. So I went back upstairs, you know, and I was just minding my own business. I was waiting. I put that Christian music on, and then I started hearing her sing some songs, sing some praise. And the whole atmosphere changed. I went down there and I had a new wife, man. You know, praise God. Happy wife, happy life, you know, I survived. But I knew the key was to praise God. I knew the key was to praise God. Man, you can feel it in your home sometimes. There's something in your home that's like in the atmosphere. It's spiritual. Put some praise music on. Send that spirit out of there, because they can't stand the presence of God when you start praising God. It defeats the enemy. You might ask yourself, where is the joy of the Lord in your life? Where is your hallelujah? The devil thinks he's winning when he got you into prison, but you haven't a hallelujah. That word means to praise him. You have a reason to praise him. The power of praise is one of our greatest weapons. It defeats the enemy, but it also causes confusion to the enemy. There's a story in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Sorry. It says this, there's an enemy that was attacking Israel. But Israel defeated the enemy by simply praising the Lord. The Lord said, the battle is mine, not theirs. It was not about a physical fight. It was a spiritual fight. In 2 Chronicles 20:15, it says this. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judea and Israel. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. And it goes on in verse 20 and 21. It says, early in the morning, they left for the desert. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judea and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in your Lord God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. And after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing unto the Lord and praise him for his splendor of his holiness. As they went out at the head of the army, in front of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. They were praising God for his love. Going into battle, praising the Lord. For his love, you would think like they'll start singing, God is almighty, God is all powerful. But they were singing praises about his love. And as they began to sing and praise the army of Ammon and Moab, they attacked their fellow ally, the men from Mount Seir. And after they destroyed the men from Mount Seir, they started attacking each other and they destroyed each other. It caused confusion in them. You might not have physical enemies like the people in Israel back in the Old Testament. But Christians do have enemies today. We have enemies, the enemy of fear. We have the enemy of depression. The enemy of lust and shame. Resentment and anxiety. What does the Christian have to wage war against these enemies who try to get us down? Joy. You have joy. You have Jesus. He's our salvation. That word salvation means deliverance. He's our deliverer. He's not delivering not only from our sins, but from every battle that we face after salvation. And you're going to face some battles as a Christian after salvation. I can tell you that for sure. Because we have enemies like the devil in the world and our flesh. But here, King Jehoshaphat, he went into the battle with praise and thanksgiving. And after the battle, he came back home with praise and thanksgiving as well. Here's another example. You think about the children of Israel when they crossed the Red Sea. And the Pharaoh army was drowned by the waters. The first thing that they did, the first thing that Moses did and all the people was to sing a praise song to God. It was known as the Song of Moses. In Exodus 15, you can find this story. In the first verse, it says, it starts off like this. I will sing unto the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both the horse and the driver he has hurled into the sea. Listen, we could give praise for the victories that God gives us in this life. We can praise God because he's good all the time. We can praise God because he has our best interests in mind. We can praise God because he will never leave us or forsake us. In verse 9 of chapter 15 of Exodus, it says, the enemy boasted. The enemy boasted, meaning they were prideful. It says that the enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them, and I will draw my sword in my hand, and I will destroy them. This was Pharaoh. He wanted to destroy Israel. He wasn't just chasing them down to bring them back to Egypt. No, he was going down to chase them to destroy them. And we know that it was Pharaoh, but it was also Satan working through Pharaoh. It was also Satan working in the background, wanting to destroy God's people. And Satan was just using Pharaoh and his army to use it. Because you can find, like, in this verse, the word I used 5 times in just one verse. Every time you're hearing somebody talking, I did this, I did this. And you can see Satan working in the heart of that person. Because he works in the heart of men and women with the pride, a sense of pride. It's the same spirit found in Isaiah chapter 14 when it describes Satan wanting to go up to become God, like just like God. It says in Isaiah 14, 13 through 14, it says the word I 5 times again. Satan says, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on enthroned in the mount of the assembly, on the most high of the north. I will ascend to the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the most high. You see, Satan here, he loves the word I because it deals with pride. It is important to give God's praise after every victory. I say that again. It's important to give God's praise after every victory. Because if we're not careful, we could start thinking, oh, we did it ourselves. We could reason our way out of it. Oh, I have my own strength. Forgetting that God gave you the strength to do it. See, the devil wants the pride to creep into the hearts of people. Because pride is very destructive to the Christian. It takes away the praises that we ought to give to God. But if you always give God praise, it shields us in the way from becoming prideful. It gives glory to God. In Isaiah 61 verse 3, it says this. The garment of praise is given for the spirit of heaviness. This word heaviness carries the notion of what it means. It means somewhat dark or darkish. Listen, depression can lead people to some dark places in their lives. But when you put on the garment of praise, you could have deliverance. Isaiah 61 verse 1, it says this. The Lord has appointed me to proclaim the good news to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captive, and to open up the prisons to those who are bound. Listen, sin makes us a slave to sin. When people sin, it's you're being drawn in as a slave. And sin puts people sin puts people in prison in their minds, thinking they can't break free. But here Jesus says in Isaiah that he proclaims liberty by setting the captives free by sin. You know, you hear the songs that we heard this morning, A Heart of Worship, Hosanna. You heard the word Hosanna. I know you probably never heard that word before, but it occurs 6 times in the New Testament. And the word means a shout of praise. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to be honest with you. When I first heard that word in a worship song, I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know who it was, actually. It was in a Bible conference and they were singing a song. The song sung good, but I wasn't singing it because I didn't know who Hosanna was. I knew who Jesus was, but I didn't know who Hosanna was. It was not until later that I realized what this word meant. It meant a shout of praise. It's just like hallelujah means praise him. Hallelujah. Hosanna means a shout of praise. We're giving a shout to praise to God. Mm-hmm. Matthew 21 verse 9, it says this. And the multitudes that went before him and followed after him cried out saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, meaning shout praise to the Son of David. Blessed he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, meaning we could give our highest praise to God. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, it says, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you. You want to know what God's will, a part of God's will for your life is? To always be joyful, pray daily, and give thanks in every circumstance you face. In the hard times, in the good times, in the blessed times, in the trying times, give thanks. Maybe you could think about when you pray sometimes to sing a short song in your prayers. You know, I do this sometimes when I pray. I'll come to a pause and I start singing a short song of praise that I have. And then I'll go back and continue to pray. That's what it means by praising and worshiping God. Nehemiah 8 verse 10, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you're feeling weak or defeated this morning, put on a song of praise. It's your strength. It's what God gives you. And you notice that these enemies that we face, they will start to flee. They can't stand the presence of praise. Why? Because the scripture says that God dwells in the praises of his people. Meaning that God will come down. That's why we sing praises at the beginning of our services. Because we want God to come down in this place. To dwell among us. You don't have to wait to church service to sing praise. You can sing praise anytime, any day. And you might find you'll get breakthrough. You know, there's 3 places where it says that in the Bible where God dwells with his people. Number 1, he dwells in heaven, eternity. It says in Isaiah 57 verse 15, it says, I dwell in a high and holy place. And he also dwells in the heart. In the heart of the contrite, this word contrite means broken, means humble, in the humble spirit. So God dwells in heaven in eternity, but he also dwells in the heart of the humble, the broken heart, the broken spirit. It also says that he inhabits the praises of his people. You want to break free from what the world is trying to get you down on? Have God come down with the praises that come from your mouth. I've been in my car before, you know, I hear a good song my workplace. And I could feel the presence of God when I just have to sing the song over and over. So, because I'm getting breakthrough. And I could just, you know, just put my headphones on and just put on a repeat. And you can feel God's presence with you, even at work, because you're singing God's praises. And I close quickly. You know, there's a reason why Paul has such confidence in always rejoicing. It's because Paul had confidence that God was always in control. And you can have confidence that and joy because God is in control of your life. It's not this thinking positive mentality, you know, as you hear a lot about today, you know, in pulpits and books, you know, the better you or something, or you know, think positive and everything be okay. No. It's because God's in control of your life. That's why you can have joy. That's why it gives you a reason to rejoice and praise and give thanks. I heard this verse, you know, in Psalm 61, verse 11. It says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. And we already know, like I just said, you know, we can have God come down when we sing praises. There's joy in his presence. And you feel that joy when he comes down. But this verse also is very encouraging. Because when we get to heaven, there's just nothing going to be joy and love of God around his presence. There was a testimony I heard about this man who had this out-of-body experience, and he stood before Jesus. And he described the best way he could describe standing before God. And he said, it was like an ocean of love. An ocean of love. I could bear witness to that. Remember, God's presence, it drives away your enemies. Let him fight your battles. And you focus on praising him. And watch what he does. Every battle that God wages, he wins. You just have to praise God. The scriptures also say what the enemy meant for evil, God could turn it around for good. Just praise him. Just trust him. And watch what he does. I'd like to have every head bow and eye closed. Amen. As we go in the presence of the Lord. Amen.